come on in.
And now, back to the Bill Frank Radio Show.
The kids love him.
And your host,
welcome to paradise,
Bill Frank.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show on KVTA News Talk 1520, bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is health and politics. Each of my guests will share his or her perspective on one or the other of these subjects. My next guest will help us keep a healthy outlook about the political rhetoric that we're hearing between now and the election in November 6th of 2012. We'll discuss the psychology behind the news that we hear from his latest book, The Real Rules of Life. Ken Druck, Ph.D., is one of the nation's pioneers in personal transformation, breaking fresh ground in male psychology, executive coaching, organizational consulting, parental effectiveness, healing after loss, and most recently, the art of turning adversity into opportunity. His company, Druck Enterprises Incorporated, is a leading coaching, consulting, and team-building organization. Ken formed the Jenna Druck Center in 1996 following the tragic loss of his eldest daughter. Dr. Ken, as he's often called on to assist in healing after tragic events such as 9/11, the shootings at Columbine High School, and Hurricane Katrina. Ken is the author of several books. His latest book is titled The Real Rules of Life, Balancing Life's Terms with Your Own. Joining us from Southern California, Ken, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Bill. How about yourself?
Terrific, and thank you for being a guest on the show today, because I'm so glad to have a mental health expert like yourself on the show to walk us through the rhetoric that we're going to be faced with in the upcoming political season. I tend to call this season the silly season. You've developed some rules to help us keep balance during the silly season when we're barraged with all of this political advertising surrounding an election. And I find it interesting you've written some rules. One of your rules is to self-regulate. Consume only what you need to be a socially responsible citizen. Now, here's the question that I have for you. Here's the rub. If we're going to be a socially responsible citizen, we're going to vote, and therefore we need to consume facts about the various candidates. How do you balance being a socially responsible citizen with weeding through all of the stuff that we're hearing in the political campaigns?
Well, Bill, you know yourself, because you're right in the middle of it all, and you have to help the general public process all this, that some days are just brain damage. All you're getting is the divisive, polarizing, non-substantive information, and you know it's not very much that's helping empower you to make a decision about who is most competent to lead. It's really a game about who can undermine, who can undercut, who can attack the character of the issues which are so critical to the quality of our communities. Get lost. They get overshadowed. We really don't get to talk about the substance. And I would suggest to you that the greatest value that's there is lost in the process. The greatest learning, teaching, wisdom, knowledge base, experience base that so many people have to share that would let us know they were competent to lead gets lost in people defending and attacking and divisiveness.
Well, here's the thing. As a member of the media, you know, we're faced with this dichotomy, sound bites versus substance. That's the crux of the issue that we're faced with here. And in reality, sound bites win, because that's what elections have been won on in the past. I mean, we'll go back to Bill Clinton when he was elected. His famous catchphrase was, "It's the economy, stupid." Go back a step further to Ronald Reagan. And by the way, you're broadcasting into Ventura County, the home of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. He asked the simple question, "Are you better off today than you were 4 years ago?" And elected on that by itself. We've found over time, the media has found over time, that sound bites are more effective than substance. So how do we cut through that? How do we teach our listeners to be more responsible in consuming the information that these politicians throw at us?
Well, I think great questions. And, you know, terrific questions, just like the open-ended questions that you're asking now. The problem is when we don't ask open-ended questions, when we've already got our minds made up in advance and we are already against somebody, we've already polarized, we never really get to the substance. We never get beyond the sound bites. And what we need is when somebody says a soundbite, we need to get underneath it. We need to get inside of it. We need to find out who that person is, what they're likely to do, where they're coming from, how they formulated that, you know, any possible concerns that they feel, so that we're not constantly having to expose somebody's doubts or the loopholes. But I think we need to ask people, is there any part of this that you're not completely 100% clear about? Because the truth is, and one of the real rules of life, is that we don't always completely know everything. We are making our very best calculated, educated guesses, but does anybody have the complete truth and answer always? No. So I think we need to see that quality of humility. We need to see that people know how to bring in intelligent advisors. People know how to utilize the arguments that other people who may disagree with them are giving, because it will inform and strengthen their position. And we need to see these qualities in our candidates, and we'll never see them if somebody's under attack and back on their heels.
But very true, and we'd rarely see them, Ken, because the people don't want to appear weak or vulnerable. They don't want to appear as though they don't have the answers. Comment on this, if you will, because really the defining moments in any presidential career is really not what they're elected into office based on their campaign rhetoric. It's what happens when they're in office. With John Kennedy, it was the Cuban Missile Crisis. With Ronald Reagan, it was the assassination attempt. With President George W. Bush, it was 9/11. And no one could have planned either any of those events that happened and defined their presidencies, yet that's where their true character emerges.
Exactly.
So talk to me about, how do we ferret it out? What is their true character?
You know, it's true about all of us. It's not just the candidates. You know, when life throws us, and you read my introduction earlier, you know, my life was soaring along so beautifully, and my oldest daughter says, "Dad, I want to go on a trip of a lifetime. I know it's expensive, but I want to travel around the world on this semester at sea." The last thing on my mind was that I would be fighting for my life out of the ashes, out of despair, that my oldest daughter was killed while studying abroad. And suddenly, I was in the middle of Plan B. And what defines our character in this life, as much as anything, and what defines the character of a president or a governor or a mayor or a candidate, is what we do when confronted, when Plan A, when the best blueprints fall apart, when Plan A is gone forever, and we're standing in the ashes of it, and we have to decide what we're made of. We have to summon the strength. We have to have the character. We have to have the vision. We have to have the humility and the intelligence to gather the smartest data, analysis, understandings from around us, because we don't have all the answers, but to be able to go forward from that. And it defines our character, what we do and how we create Plan B. And that's what happened in my life. It's what you described happened in Reagan's presidency and Bush's presidency. And here we are.
So true. My guest is Ken Druck. He's the author of the book, The Real Rules of Life, Balancing Life's Terms with Your Own. And what I like about your rules is you have so many rules, and I love following rules, which is great. One of the rules that you have in the book, and talking about media and how you consume media, is do not project onto others or displace emotions like anger or resentment or rage that may be triggered by watching and listening to some of this political rhetoric. But here again is a dilemma, because isn't that the exact thing that politicians in their ads want to trigger in us? They want to trigger a negative emotional response to the other guy and trigger a positive or a favorable response in them. So how do you balance that? I mean, you know you're going to get bombarded with all of these political ads in the mail, the radio, and television.
Yeah, we've got to somehow be smarter than all that. We've seen it. We know how it colorizes our opinions. I mean, families, I don't know what household you grew up in, but my father's a Republican, my mother's a Democrat, and we're throwing oil on the fire. You know, and how many households are divided? How many people end up in arguments without having a a faint sense of what they have in common, but they polarize immediately into what they to what they feel different about without really understanding the basis for each other's truths. I want to tell you a quick story that happened to me just a few days ago. Here I am out in the world promoting a new book, sharing the story, sharing all this material with people, and I am booked on a radio show in the Deep South, and I begin, as I always do, to try to find out a little bit about the host. And he is so polarized to the far, 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 far right. And I'm thinking this is going to be the worst. This is going to be, a train wreck. This interview is going to be a train wreck. And I get on the phone with this gentleman, and we start talking about our experience as fathers. And he says to me, you know, I can't imagine how my life would be if anything happened to my two boys. For the first 20 minutes of that interview, all we talked about was our dreams for our kids as fathers, the kind of world we wanted our kids to grow up in. And you know what? Every value that we shared with one another, we had in common. We established a basis of such commonality that it gave us a way to talk about all the things that we disagreed about, all the different ways that we disagreed, all the different experiences we had had growing up. And we could disagree constructively. We could discuss the substance of our disagreement. I could learn from him, and I did. And it was one of the best interviews I have ever had. And we learned something, and he asked me some questions. And I would venture to say he learned a couple of things from me. But it was a shared experience. We have to get past all this polarization and divisiveness. We can't fill our heads with that. We're going to burn out. We're all going to be mentally and emotionally exhausted. We have to stay with the substance, and we shouldn't be afraid to find out that we have things in common. You know, we're all basically the people of each other's time. We live in the same time. Most of us live in the same country. We do have different ideas, but let's be bigger than our differences.
My guest is Ken Druck. So, Ken, what will be that commonality? You found it with that radio host through fatherhood. What's going to be the commonality for our country in this upcoming election, do you speculate?
You know, that is the million-dollar question. I think we try to have a compassionate heart when we think about the people in our own neighborhoods, in our own backyards, and all of us. I know a little bit about Ventura County. You know a little bit about San Diego County. Our communities aren't that radically different. And when we think compassionately about those people in our communities who are struggling, struggling in this economy, struggling with their kids, trying to raise our kids, give our kids a great, decent education, when we think about the quality of our lives, our sense of safety in our own communities, we all share those kinds of concerns. Now, how we come to the table, rather than projecting and demonizing the other guy, and how we come to the table in a voice of and with a mindset that we have something to learn from one another, that we are all on the same team in that larger sense, even though we may disagree and feel like we're on different teams. It's that transcendent moment that creates magic that gets things moving in communities. I mean, we see it in San Diego. If we did case studies of what has really moved things forward in our government, in our communities, with nonprofits, with entrepreneurial companies that are great corporate citizens, where the magic is that people come together and they're dedicated and devoted to getting into a conversation and bringing it to a positive outcome. That's what we have to shoot for.
And those are wise words. My guest has been Ken Druck, author of the book, The Real Rules of Life, Balancing Life's Terms with Your Own. Ken, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
They can go right to my website, which is www.kendruck.com, KENDRUCK.com, and that'll be a great start for them. And I welcome to hear from your audience, points of agreement, points of disagreement. I want to acknowledge you for the incredible work that you've done. The more I've gotten to know about you, Bill, you're really the keeper of the conversation in your community, and I congratulate you for keeping that book open, keeping the blood flowing in the community, and forging common ground and higher understanding of all the substantial issues.
Well, thank you, Ken, for those kind words. It's been a delight. Thanks so much for being my guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks again, Bill.
Thank you. And remember, if you missed all or part of my interview with Ken, you can find him up on my website, which is brainstorminonline.com. That's brainstormin, STORMIN, online.com. I'll be back with my next guest after these words from my sponsors.